Well, it was 1 week from yesterday. We'll be at Oscars, Westo, for the Spring Game Roundtable. Will we even be doing a Spring Game Roundtable in future years? Interesting conversation on the Husker Online Tunnel Talk regarding the future of spring football. And we had this conversation yesterday.
There doesn't need to be a fix, right?
I mean,
it's okay if it just dies.
And it's not that like spring football dies.
Yes, correct.
I mean, the practice is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
The coaches want their practice. It's going to happen. It's the idea of making that last scrimmage a fan favorite environment with, you know, all the pomp and circumstance and all of the other stuff. I mean, for the longest time, you know, yeah, it was something you went to, but it was free. You know, you just walked into the stadium. The very first spring game I ever saw, we just walked into the stadium because there was a track meet. They used to coordinate it with other events like an outdoor track event, a baseball game, whatever. And I remember I was bored to tears, shockingly, at a track and field event.
Wow.
And I said, could I go?
They're trying really hard.
Could I go across the street? I mean, I appreciate they were going really hard, but it was very boring. Could I go over and watch the spring game?
Speaking of boring.
And we did. But that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And then I'd be very fascinated to know how it all started. How did this obsession with spring games and big attendance and people showing up and paying money, when did that start?
Well, the first Frank Solich one had a big crowd.
Yes.
For comparably speaking. But I remember, so it was a couple years later that I started going for the first time. The first one I remember was in 2002. Bad weather day, probably 20 to 30,000 fans. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, cool. Let's go watch the spring game. It was more actually of like, my youth football team made the trip down to Lincoln. So it was more than, and then obviously we did the drug-free pledges we talked about at some point in time. Recently, the first one that I can remember, though, when it became a moment was Callahan. And then every year after that, it was like, well, you got to have a big crowd so then you can recruit. That was when I remember it.
Right.
Changing.
Around here. And I don't know. Was Nebraska the trendsetter in that department? Was it starting to happen elsewhere? You know, I honestly don't recall. But there has been some concern that people are finally catching on that, man, these aren't really that entertaining of games. I mean, they're not.
It's funny.
They're
again,
practices, and they've always kind of been that way, right? There's never been stakes. You know, you're just going there really to watch a practice.
And doesn't it seem, and this is the oddity of it, as they got more popular, what happened then? Television wanted to capitalize on it. Well, people are interested. Let's put them on TV. And that, I think, is the dividing line of the games being, I know you've always said you never found them interesting, but I feel like that's the dividing line of spring games when I was growing up and spring games today. I really feel like things change. And I did make a comparison the other day, too. I think the one with Jack Hoffman running the touchdown and that counting on the scoreboard, that is when I feel like things really were different after that, because that was the beginning of the spring game. Again, they were putting in a 3-4 defense, and they just didn't do it that day. They had just ignored it that whole day, which was funny. It didn't bother me, but it was like, but shouldn't you be like practicing this? Like, in theory, you do want to get better at it.
Well, then there were a few schools that used to do the different scoring, right? They wouldn't do traditional scoring. It was, hey, if the defense got a sack, then they got 3 points. If the offense made a first down, they got a point. And they did some goofy scoring. I mean, there's been a lot of gimmicks.
I remember that for one of the last Bo years where it was like, yeah, a sack is worth 3 or whatever it was.
And so now the idea, going back to what was discussed on the Tunnel Talk today, was an NFL mini camp format.
It's like, what does that even mean?
Well, it just means more practice. It's just practice.
Oh, just have a 15th practice?
Yeah.
Without now, fans?
If you think about it, all NFL training camps have fans.
They do.
All NFL training camps. And it becomes a big deal, and people just kind of show up, and there's a big...
Thousands of people will go
to
these
camps. Now, it's not typically done in a stadium, and it's not always scrimmages. Occasionally, you get those scrimmages where two teams will match up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll do the combined practice, and that's usually when we get the good fight videos. But
yeah, your guy swinging his helmet around.
Yeah,
should have kicked him out of the league. Dangerous, John.
Probably he's retired now.
John says storming the court is dangerous, but yet his defensive tackle, his big 300-pound defensive tackle, swings a weapon around, and John's like,
he's defending his players.
Pretty cool.
Well, unless it's Creighton storming the court, then he's fine.
Then
with
he's
it.
Like, this is the best moment of my life. Like,
oh, we I beat never UConn. Said that. Go ahead, everybody.
I never said that.
After you.
You sure didn't try to stop him, did you?
Billy
well,
Blue
I was
Jay?
On the air. I couldn't stop them.
Interesting.
I did
hold out my hand and say, no, please, wait, stop. And then I continued on.
What about this? Adam says, and we've talked about this before, I've thought for a while that college football should do what basketball does for spring games, have a scrimmage against another school.
See, I don't think, I don't know if other coaches would want to do that.
It seems like you want to talk about an obvious fix if you view the spring game as needing fixing. That is the plan above all plans. And so the fact that there is no momentum towards it tells me that the coaches have zero desire to do it.
Well, it's already a case where practices are becoming less and less physical all the time. The practices that used to happen back in the day aren't happening today because you're trying to protect against injuries.
Yes.
The last thing you're going to do, the only way you can control those things in your own practice is when it's you against yourself. But you bring another team into the equation.
You can't control it.
You can't control it.
Again, that's when you get helmets being swung around. And if they already don't like putting stuff on tape.
Right. Why would you want to put anything out there against another team?
And look, I say this as someone who used to make this argument too, that like, just do that. Have scrimmages. But they're not going to do it. And so I kind of like, you know, I put down my axe to stop going after it. But also, knowing now how the spring game has evolved, I think it would be a big old sham and it wouldn't be interesting. And yeah, people would have a lot of takes and it would. The coaches don't want that. It'd be a disaster.
No, they don't want that.
Yeah. It'd be really, really silly.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe if they did it behind closed doors, they would be like, yeah, sure. If you could say, hey, coaches, you can do a scrimmage versus North Dakota State, but it's not televised and it's no one will see it except for whoever you want to invite. I bet then they'd say, yeah, that actually might be something we'd be willing to do. Because going back to the text from Adam, those scrimmages are behind closed doors. And like scores leak, like sometimes media even gets to go to them and they keep their own stats. Yeah. I think doesn't Matt DeMarinis go to some of these things? It's like we can find out, but it's like a behind the scenes thing. It's not that big of a deal. But if you were to put it on ESPN or BTN,
that's the thing. The television component, you know, it's out there.
Yeah.
But how do you make these things more interesting? The answer is, really, you can't.
What if you did this? Replace the spring game with a 15th practice. Don't put that on television. But instead, you draw names out of a hat, and that's how you schedule Big Ten teams versus each other, and you can do that in April. And so it's like, hey, Husker fans, here's who you're going to play in week 4 of the season.
Honestly, that'd be more
Washington!
That'd be more interesting than watching a spring game, in my
opinion. I'd watch that. That sounds interesting. I love schedules. I love TV schedules.
Mm. We also love movies.
Nick, we do love movies.
And coming up next, it is time for the Movie Club. Kent's Movie Club is straight away. Dumb Money is this week's selection. We'll review that and have more coming up on 1620 The Zone. But John Bishop here for GoodGuysSaveLives.com. You know, registered donors can save up to 8 lives through one simple check. That one simple check on the back of your driving, hunting, and fishing license. If you have already done so, we thank you to be a registered organ and tissue donor. For those of you who haven't, well, I encourage you to visit GoodGuysSaveLives.com because not only can you save up to 8 lives through organ donation, but you can help hundreds of others through tissue donation like bone and skin grafts, corneas, tendons to help folks recover from sports injuries. There's so much you can do with one very selfless act. And registering is very easy. Just check yes when you renew that hunting, fishing, or driver's license, or visit goodguyssavelives.com, and anyone can register. No age restrictions. Even if you have a medical condition, you can still register. And the donation is also free. So please join the millions of others who have already done so and visit goodguyssavelives.com. Registered donors can save up to 8 lives through organ donation at goodguyssavelives.com.